Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are looking forward to being with you today. The number here at the station is 308-9564. This is a live call-in radio broadcast, so go ahead and begin calling in your questions. Again, that number is 308-9564. 308-9564. For those of you who've been listening over the last couple of years, you know that we do our best just to try to stick with what the Bible says. So if you call in your question and you're asking a question and we can find that answer in the Bible, we'll do our best to present that on today's broadcast. You can also text in your question. We do have a text line. That number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. And again, we will focus on trying to answer your question from God's Word. Now, we won't try to teach more than what the Bible says. We won't try to teach less than what the Bible says. But just whatever it says, that's what we'll try to present on today's broadcast. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
Now, be mindful that you can also communicate with us through a text line. There's a couple of ways to approach this. One, if you have a cell phone, you can use your cell phone to text us. If you have that feature, simply by texting to 725-9283. 725-9283, and that will come directly here to the studio. Or if you do not have a cell phone, but you have a computer, you can go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com. And so you can go to the bottom of that opening screen, and you can also text us using our website, biblealone.com. And you can text in your question right now to us, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. And so either way you would like to choose, please go ahead, use the voice line at 308-9564, where you can have your question written down and brought in to us, or you can go directly on the air. Now, if you choose to go directly on the air, we want to know your name and so that we can address you and be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo. And so that's the only thing we ask if you want to go live on the air. So now's your chance to go ahead and call in your question toward the end of the broadcast. The questions tend to pile up, and so we do not want to have to not give your question much time because of lack of time. So go ahead and call now. 308-9564 is the voice line, or the text line is 725-9283. While we're waiting on the next call, we want you to know, because the lines are available, we want you to know that if you know people that are out of town, anywhere in the world, they can also join us right now simply by going to our website, www.biblealone.com, and they can click live stream and listen to the radio broadcast anywhere in the world. Now, if you do communicate with someone and tell them to go there to tune in, let them know that this is area code 843. If they would like to text or to also communicate with us through calling. And they can also download, while you're on our website, you can also download previous broadcasts along with a number of different studies on the most frequent questions that are asked. Either way, we are happy to accommodate your question and we'll be glad to go to the Bible for the answer today. One other way that people can tune in, if they have an app called TuneIn Radio, they can also listen to this broadcast through that app. All they have to do is to find WJNI 106.3 and be able to tune in through that app and thus be able to join us as we go to the Bible for the questions that you call in today. So there's no reason why anyone cannot listen to today's broadcast. So let them know if you know of someone that would benefit from this. They can go through our website or through TuneIn Radio. And if they're outside this calling area or this broadcast area. So now's your chance. Go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Or if they would rather, you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, to call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak.
Sam calls in today. Sam has a question about John chapter 1 and verse 4. John 1 and verse 4, which says, in him, talking about Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Sam's question is, it says, is this talking about the Holy Spirit? So, Sam, we take that to mean, or you're asking the question, is the life that was in Jesus, is that the Holy Spirit? Well, there's nothing in the scripture to say that it was or that it wasn't. And so it's hard for us to speak on that. What we will say, though, is clear that Jesus is the life. And the Bible says that over and over again. In passages like John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through me. And so life, that is to say spiritual life, can only be found in Christ Jesus. But there's nothing that tells us whether or not the life that's being referenced here is the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that's been helpful to you, Sam. We sure appreciate you calling and being one of the first callers today. We sure appreciate that. But join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will do our best to let the Bible speak to the questions that may be on your heart today. Just want to say, back on Sam's question, is that, you know, here's a person that's studying about Jesus. And as we study, he noticed that Jesus has the life, and that life is the light of men. There should not be a listener out there that's listening who's not seeking after that life. And that's the life that we want. And that life would have to be eternal life. And that exists with Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. And so the only way to get that life is to come through Jesus Christ. Very good question, Sam.
Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are available. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a caller calling in this question. Their question is, does the Bible say anything about Jesus coming back to set up a government? And where is this found? Grab your pencil, grab your paper, get ready to write these verses down. I'll quickly go through these, and it will help you a lot to be able to study this fully. We'll go just straight through the New Testament. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, some of you that stand here shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. So there were people that were going to be alive when God, Christ, set up his kingdom. And so when the kingdom came, there were people still alive that he was talking to at that moment. Next book, Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Talking about the kingdom of God, he was asked this question, and his response was, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither will they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So there the kingdom of God, the government he was going to set up, would be a monarchy, the kingdom of God, him being king, that is not going to be a physical location government. Neither will they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. John, now, John chapter 18 and verse 36. As Jesus was asked about his kingdom and if he was a king, his response was, John 18, 36, my kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be delivered unto the Jews. And thus my kingdom is not from hence, not from here, not of this world. And so there his kingdom was not going to be a physical kingdom, it says. Well, then the very first sermon in Acts chapter 2 is all about Jesus sitting on the throne. Now, my friend, who is it that sits on a throne? Yes, a king, absolutely. So if Jesus is sitting on the throne, then he is ruling as king. So the kingdom was set up, and he was on the throne in Acts chapter 2's sermon. Colossians now. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says that he had been translated, depending on your translation, that he'd been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son, out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So now Paul says, when he wrote Colossians, that he was in the kingdom. Hebrews now, chapter 12 and verse 28. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with godly fear. So we've got to, they were receiving the kingdom when the book of Hebrews was set up. One more verse, Revelation 1 and verse 9, it brings out that John, when he was exiled to the island of Patmos, he says that he was in the spirit and in the kingdom on the Lord's day. So there, he was in the kingdom, Paul was in the kingdom, the Hebrew brethren were receiving a kingdom. Okay, that's already been done, hasn't it? So as far as Jesus coming back to set up his kingdom, well, the Bible says it was already set up his government, which was in the form of a kingdom and him reigning as king. So that was a done deal. When the Bible was finished, the day of Pentecost was the day the church began, the day his kingship began as him sitting on his throne and we being his subjects as he is our king. So hopefully that has been helpful to you. Let me go through them right quick again. Mark 9:1, Luke 17, 20 and 21, John 18, 36, Acts chapter 2, the whole sermon there, Colossians 1:13, Hebrews 12:28, and Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. Hopefully that has been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. It's time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, or you can text us at 725-9283. That's the text number. Or the voice line is 308-9564. We'll save an announcement till after the break. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we want you to know that this, of course, everything we offer is free of charge. The Bible Correspondence Course, every item, everything that we do, it is free to you. God freely gave us all things to enjoy, and so why would we dare try to charge or try to take a backdoor approach and say, okay, now you've got to contribute back to us? Jesus nor the apostles never asked for a handout for contributions, nor should we. And so everything we offer to you is free, and we are happy to share with you this Bible Correspondence Course. So don't miss out on this. Take advantage of it. Get the course in the mail to you. You may discover things that you have never heard before. Yea, I would dare say that most likely that will be the case from the many people that we go out and meet face to face with and study with. It is amazing how many things are totally new to preachers that we study with, how that we've sat down and studied with preachers and we'll point out something as, you know, I've never seen that before. So isn't it important to find out these things before we meet our Creator face to face? And then we find out that we were wrong. It's important to be prepared to meet our Creator, because He's the one that's going to judge us. It will not be any church, any preacher, or any individual save Jesus Christ. And He is the crucified one to pay for this opportunity to live with Him forever. So let's listen to Him. Let's find the answers that He has in His Word so that we might be able to be free at last for an eternity. So go ahead and call 553-5157 and get that correspondence course in the mail to you even this week. So don't miss out on this. 553-5157. Now, announcement we want to give you as well. At the end of this month, go ahead and get your calendar out and write down the last day of this month, which is January 31st. And then the first day of February, that's a Friday and Saturday of this, the last day of January 31st and February the 1st, write that on your calendar to come out to Goose Creek for a meeting that we want to host for you to come out and for us to be able to meet face to face and answer your questions in person. So don't miss out on this. That will be coming up at the end of this month. So if you live in the Goose Creek, Ladson, Munts Corner, North Charleston, or Somerville areas, Do not miss out on this opportunity. We want to be able to share with you. We'll also have some extra Bible materials for you we'll give you all of this being free of charge. We're happy to do this for you, and we'd love to meet you in person, and that will be the 31st and the 1st coming up. So don't miss out on that. That will be in Goose Creek at 105 Maryland Street. And if you're putting in your GPS, that's Marylyn Street in Goose Creek. We would love to have you. That'll be at 6:30, both on the Friday and Saturday night. 6:30, Friday and Saturday night. And we'll be glad to meet you and answer all your questions in person. So write that on your calendar. Make plans to attend to that. We sure would appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you. Again, the number to get the Bible Correspondence course, if you missed that, is 553-5157. But now, if you have a question, now is your opportunity. Both lines are available. The voice line is available, 308-9564, or the text line is available at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
I do. Annie calls in today. Annie, we sure appreciate you listening. Annie says, when Jesus was teaching how to pray, was this just to his disciples? Well, Annie, that's a very good question. So the reference to where Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, at least one of those references, is found in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 15. And it starts off in verse 9, Jesus speaking says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and the text goes on. So at least we know where the reference is found in Matthew's account. If we go back to chapter 5, we'll see that chapter 6 is part of really three chapters where Jesus is giving what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And as he starts, the Bible lets us know who the audience is. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and seeing the multitude, he, talking about Jesus, went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And so what's clear is that he was seeking to teach his disciples. But what is also clear is that the multitude was there. Now, was he teaching the multitude also? Well, that's been a question that has troubled me. And so I'm glad you asked this question. It caused me to look a little bit further. If you look at chapter 7 now, where he finishes giving this teaching, notice what the Bible says in chapter 7 and verse 28. The Bible says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these saying that the people were astonished at his teachings. And so while he was certainly focusing his attention on teaching the disciples, there were other people there that heard it, that received it as teaching. That's clear. And verse 29, the Bible says, they said, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so they were taught as well. So apparently this was not just for the disciples, but he was teaching even that multitude that was gathered round about. Again, those passages, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, is the prayer. And chapter 5, verse 1, is where he talks about his focusing on his disciples and the multitude was there. And then in chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, talks about that multitude, these people, receiving the teaching. So although, again, he was not focused on them, seemingly, they received teaching and they were taught by Jesus during that time period. So I hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will do our best to simply let the Bible speak.
Back to the question I answered earlier about does the Bible say anything about Jesus coming back to set up a government, and where is it found in the Bible? And the only time that government is actually referred to in that term is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says that the government, or the condition there that is referring to, is the church. It says that God has appointed these in the church. And then it goes on to list several that were available that were part of the building of the church, and including the word government, or that which governs. And so, but as far as him coming back and setting up a special government, Nope, there is nothing about that. If you want to know what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, I would direct you to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here, without any kind of colorful language or any kind of special symbolism, he puts it this way. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, plural, will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He goes on two verses later and says the same thing again and warns us what manner of persons ought we to be. So when Christ comes back, the day of the Lord, when he comes back, well, this world is going to be the least thing to be considered at all, because everything that has mass elements, this world and the heavens, the home of the birds, the home of the stars, will be destroyed. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. And so carefully consider that. As far as him setting up a special government, there's a theory out there that is taught by many religious groups today that he is going to come back and set up a special government where he's here on earth. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says he's ever going to set foot back on earth again. Thessalonians brings out we will meet him in the air. And so it's not a matter of him coming back to this earth for anything except to gather his saints to take them back to heaven with him. So hopefully that will be helpful to you. Again, consider 2 Peter chapter 3, and you'll see when Christ comes back, it's not going to be to set up a government. It's going to be to destroy all the governments that are here, along with everything else. It's time for our next break. We want you to know that the correspondence course we're about to tell you about is free. We're happy to send this to you, and we're glad to share with you any resource that we have. There are several of these on our website if you want to go there, which is at BibleAlone.com. And you can download many of the studies there that we mentioned. We're happy to share these with you absolutely free. Now, while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. 308-9564 is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're about live now, and we're glad that you are taking out your afternoon, and we're glad that you're staying awake with us. I think some people probably listen to the radio program just to have a good sleep, but if that's your case, we'll try to whisper. No, wake up. Here we go. Let's go to the Bible, find out the answers. Let's let the light of God's Word shine in our lives, and let our hearts be stirred by what He says to us through His Word. And we hope and pray that you are indeed getting some blessing from God's Word as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. Now, if you have a particular question, don't delay. Go ahead and call right now before they stack up toward the end of the program. The voice line is 308-9564. That is our voice line. You can have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live on the air. Now, if you have a question and you would rather text it, you can do that as well, 725-9283, or you can text from our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. Either way, don't miss out on getting your question answered today on today's broadcast, and we'll be glad to answer your question today. Again, the voice line, 308-9564, and we will get to the Bible and find the answer to your question. Nick, do you have a question?
I do. Ben calls in today asking a question about Psalms chapter 84, verse 11. He says, is this scripture pertaining to being in a relationship with the opposite sex? Is this question pertaining to being in a relationship with a person of the opposite sex? So when we look at Psalms 84 in verse 11, here's what the Bible says. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The sense of the entire text of Psalms 84 really speaks about God blessing the one who walks uprightly. But in this text, it does not say anything about a relationship. One might infer that the idea that God's not going to withhold any good thing from a person, well, maybe that includes some type of relationship. When the Bible talks about relationship, a lot of time it talks about the husband and wife relationship. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 22, that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And so finding a wife is a good thing, the Bible says, and a person will obtain favor. But that's the sense in which these relationships that oftentimes start off what we would call dating, when the Bible begins talking about it, it talks about it in a marital context or being betrothed or promised to. And that's when it starts talking about our behavior. You might use Joseph and Mary as an example because they were promised to one another. And even after Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was minded to put her away. But, he was going to do that privately because of the kind of man that he was and how he was going to treat the one he was promised to. That tells us a little bit about his character. You also have passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 36, that talks about kind of a commitment that should be made to that person that you have some type of extended relationship with. But again, that's the individual's choice. There's just not a lot in the scriptures concerning that. The one passage that I will share with you that I think would be helpful is a passage out of Proverbs chapter 31, and it specifically talks about this virtuous woman. And I would say for those who are seeking a relationship, since Ben is asking this question, I'm answering it from the perspective of a man, you should be looking for this kind of woman. In Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so she's trustworthy. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." So you should be looking for someone that's going to be doing you good. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship that brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. You can determine whether a person has that kind of mindset prior to marrying a person like that, even while you're dating, whether this person is minded to provide and to take care of. And likewise, ladies, if you're looking for a man, you should be looking for a man that's going to love you like Jesus loved the church. And I believe that's Ephesians chapter 5. And then that's going to take care of you and take care of the children and raise the children appropriately. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 and following tells us that the fathers are to bring the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you can kind of see that in a person while you're dating. But if this person does not care about the things of God, if this person doesn't respect the law of God, then it may be that this person is not going to help you get to heaven, and it's not going to help your children get to heaven. Ben, I know you didn't ask for all that, but when it comes down to relationship, those are very crucial things because it can be a mistake that we make that will have a long-lasting impact on us. And so we want to be wise in our decisions. I hope that's been helpful to you, Ben. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. If you wish, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question or texting in this question. Their last digits are 113 of their phone number. They want to know, I've heard people say that they have seen ghosts of the dead or spirits. Is that true? What does the Bible say? Well, thank you for your question, and thank you for asking that last part, and that is, what does the Bible say? Because that's really the only place that we can go for real truth. As I looked and considered, there's a lot of passages that deal with people dying and such, but there's only a couple that may be helpful in answering this question. The first one that came to my mind was when Samuel died and Saul was without spiritual counsel because God had rejected him from being king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 28, we see him, that is King Saul, disguising himself and going to a witch to summon Samuel. Now, first of all, it was against the law to do that. And this witch knew that. And so, but that's why he disguised himself. And so he went to her to try and get her to summon Samuel from the dead. And she warned him, oh, we can't do this. And he gave her a great reward because of this. Well, as it unfolds, it says, then verse 11 says, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. So it scared her to death when that occurred. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? So Saul didn't see it. Now this witch of Endor saw this, Samuel. But she did not. But Saul did not see see Samuel, and thus he asked, "What did you see?" And so the king says, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said, "I saw a spirit coming out of the earth." And he said to her, "Who? What was his form?" An old man coming up, and perceived that it was Samuel. He stooped down with his face to the ground and bowed down. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul said, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called you to reveal that you may reveal to me what I should do. And in essence, you'll have to read the rest of that story because it's long. And you will find that in 1 Samuel chapter 28, starting with verse 3, encompassing a good bit of that chapter. And so, in essence, it means bad news for Saul and his boys. They're going to be coming to an end. And so then the other verse is in the New Testament, where Jesus expelled the demons out of Legion. That's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 30 through 32. And when you read that verse, again, you don't see anything. It's just that they knew Jesus. They talked to him. And as almost is the case every single time, they confess their belief in him. Oh, you're the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before our time? Was a question that was frequently asked. And so during that time, there were evil spirits, but there was nothing to indicate that they could see the spirits because they were possessing individuals, and they asked for permission to go into the swine, which is a really funny story because Jesus gave them permission to go into the swine. The first thing the swine do was run down the cliffs into the Sea of Galilee, and they were drowned. Something else about evil spirits, they seek out dry places. They didn't like water, which makes that story very funny if you think about it. That's Matthew chapter 8. Verse 30 through 32, and so you can view that. But to answer your question, I know nothing in the scriptures that says that there are spirits walking around today of the undead and those that didn't make it to heaven. There is nothing in the scriptures at all about that. That is all a invention of man, and it is propagated and capitalized on by Hollywood and all of these movies and things that people spend their money on. And so there's nothing in the Bible about that kind of scene today. Thank you so much for your question. You are to be commended, and thank you for listening, and especially thank you for wanting to know what the Bible says. Thank you. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us as this last one, and you can text us through your cell phone at 725-9283, 725-9283. Can you squeeze in another one before 2 minutes?
I might be able to.
All right.
We have someone calling in today asking a question about Revelation 21, verse 12, and verse 23, I believe it says. It says, does the scripture mean the current heaven and earth will be replaced? So, Revelation chapter 21, verse 12 is what I have here. It says, and she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gate, and the names were written on them which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And verse 23 says, the city had no need of sun or of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So I'm hoping that maybe also you want to look at verse 2 as well, which says, I'm going to start in verse 1 of Revelation 21. It says, now I saw a new heaven. John is having a revelation. So this is a vision. And this vision he's writing, and he's writing it in what we typically refer to as apocalyptic type language. So this is code. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so it seems to speak of a new heaven, a new earth, a new holy city or Jerusalem. And your question is, does the scripture mean the current heaven and earth will be replaced? Well, what's clear from other passages is that the current heaven and earth is going to be destroyed. And that would be, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, I'm looking at 2 Peter and I said 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And it goes on to say in verse 11 that's going to be dissolved. And so the current earth and the current heaven will pass away from that text. When we get to Revelation, Revelation is not a book where we can take literally, because most of what we read in there is in a code, or it's giving a picture of what something might be, but not in a literal sense. It's trying to speak in a language that we can understand about spiritual concepts. And that shows up in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 2. I know it's time for us to take our break. And there's more I can say, and so maybe when we come back from break, I'll pick back up and spend just maybe a minute or two more on this. But for our listeners, just be cautious when you're studying Revelation, because a lot of what's written in Revelation is in a code, or it's not literal. And so, and it's hard to decipher that without God telling us specifically what he's talking about. I think we have an idea of what he's talking about in this text, and so we'll pick back up with that when we return from the break. While we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back.
We are so glad that you are joining us today, and we hope and pray that you are studying with us with an open Bible, because we do not want you to take our word for anything. Let's go to the Bible. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if you take our word for it, well, then you may be putting your faith in somebody that will not get you to heaven. Even if we're telling you the truth and you take our word for it, you're putting your faith in us. Let's let God be the one we hear. And the only way we can know if, in fact, that it is God is for us to see the answer for ourselves. So make certain that you have a Bible there in your lap, that you are studying with us from God's word, and God is the one that you are listening to. Again, the voice line is available, 308-9564. We have a couple of questions here on deck, but go ahead and continue your questions. We're halfway through the program and hopefully halfway through your questions so that you will be blessed from our efforts today. Again, the number 308-9564 is the voice line, or if you'd rather text, 725-9283. Nick, you want to continue with that question?
Yes, before we went to break, we had a question about Revelation chapter 21. And specifically, does the scriptures mean that the current heaven and earth will be replaced? And the one thing I may mention of is that when we begin looking at Revelation, we just have to keep in mind that it's not something that we can take literal, and we have to kind of understand that it's written in code. The example of that is found in the very first chapter, where you have John seeing this vision of this of the heavenly, and it seems to me that this is a vision of Christ. But he says, concerning this one, he says in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the son of man, clothed with garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a gold band. So he talks about this one that was in the midst of seven lampstands. And then in verse 16, he says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Well, see, you can't take that literal, and I know that for a fact, because the very next verse, or next the latter portion of the verse in chapter 1, he says in verse 20 that the mysteries of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And so that lets us know that this is not literal. When the Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth, a holy city in Jerusalem, it's not talking about a literal physical dwelling place. But what's clear in that text in Revelation chapter 21, that he is talking about a new dwelling place where God is going to be with his people, where there's not going to be a need. And all of Revelation 21 brings that idea out. But we know for sure from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 that anything physical is going to be wiped away. It's going to be burned up. Even the elements, the Bible says. So I hope that's helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call us here at the station. 308-9564. You can text in your question at 725-9283. 725-9283.
We again want you to join us right now with our questions. Your questions, we will go to the Bible for the answer. Let me answer this question real quick, even though it's not in order. This caller wants to know, what does the Bible say about seeing rainbows? Is there any significance? And yes, you can quickly find that answer in Genesis chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, where God said, let me start with verse 12. This is a sign of the covenant which I've made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be that when I bring the cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the clouds. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And so there, that is a sign of the covenant that God made. And so whenever you see that in the sky, oh, I know the scientists say, well, that's just the bending of the light. Well, God set that up to be a sign to us to let us know that he's going to be true to his promise. He'll never destroy the whole earth with water ever again. The next time, he says, it will be by fire. And so, yes, there's your answer in Genesis chapter 9. Nick, you have a question? By the way, go ahead and call 308. The lines are available, 308-9564. Nick?
We have another call calling in. It says, what is the difference between apostasy and heresy? Or heresy, I'm sorry. Apostasy literally means a falling away. And a heresy, literally from the Greek, carries with the idea of choosing sides. And so it's the idea of a person who causes division. And a passage that uses the word heresy in King James is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. New King James says factions. But literally, again, that word is about choosing sides. So here's a person that's going about picking sides, causing division in a local congregation. And again, apostasy is the idea of falling away. And the scripture does talk about, in certain circumstances, a great falling away. And that may be what you're alluding to.
And it's also in Galatians 5, in the works of the flesh, heresy is there as well.
Okay.
And so the exact word. Thank you for your question. 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a caller calling in this question. What does the Bible say about women preachers? Well, I'm going to have to answer this in two different ways. One, first of all, when the Bible talks about the commission that he has called all of us into and to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he's called all of us to do that. Every single saint is to be about sharing the good news of the gospel with people we come in contact with. Now, that is to be restricted. And at times, men were not supposed to speak. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about a time when some were not to speak. And so there were certain circumstances not men or women should speak. Well, in 1 Corinthians also 14, it talks about in the assembly or in the church, verses 34 through 37, that as he preached to all churches everywhere, that the women were not to speak in the assembly. Let your women keep silent in the church. And so that would be a restriction there in the assemblies where that was to be occur. Both men at certain times in that chapter and women were not to speak in the assembly. Then also 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 tells us that women are to, 11 and 12 talks about women are to make certain that they do not teach or have authority or usurp authority over a man. And so there again would be a restriction based upon that. But they are to teach other than those circumstances. All of us are to teach. But now you're probably referring to pastors over a church or preachers over a church. And if that is the case, first of all, the Bible never, ever tells about a church that is run by one individual, a pastor, so to speak. And that is never the case. It's always plural. And you can go through all the verses in the New Testament. You'll see that it's never a one-man band. It's never a one-person rule-all kind of situation. Never is a congregation, not at Corinth, not Athens, nowhere is that to be the case. And those that are pastors, plural, shepherds, elders, bishops, overseers, are all referring to the same group of men. Yes, I said men. The reason I say that is because that's what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, you'll see that they are to be, these individuals are to be the husband of one wife. So, that eliminates women. And they are not to be in that role or in that responsibility, the pastors, shepherds, elders, bishops, and overseers. None of those are to be women. And so, and there's reasons for that, and that's also addressed in 1 Timothy 2 as well. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. All of us are to teach. All of us are to preach the gospel. It's just there are limitations to where and when and who that we can teach. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. We hope that's been beneficial to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI.
I have a quick question before we go to break. It says, when the Bible says, well, we're all created in God's image, what does it mean? Spiritual? Please explain. So the Bible does show that we're created in God's image, and that's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. The our is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that comes out in chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word God there is from a Hebrew word that is plural, making reference to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know from John chapter 4 and verse 24 that the Bible says that God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so if we were made in the image of God, it would have to be that we were given a spiritual image. In chapter 2 of Genesis and verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. It seems that that's where God gave us this spiritual image. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
And the lines are now available, so don't miss out on getting your question in right now, 308-9564. We're about to pause and tell you about the correspondence course. There are a number of benefits from enrolling in this course. First of all, it's free. Second of all, you can study this at any time you want, 24/7. We'll send it in the mail to you, and then you take it and study it. And when the time is right for you, that way you can concentrate on that, go to the Bible for the answer, and hopefully be able to get much out of that study. You may discover vital truth that you may have never seen before, which may prevent us from going to heaven one day. It's important that we do not be surprised on the judgment day simply because we're going to the wrong source for our information. Unfortunately, most churches today restrict people from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Thus, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments, not man's commandments, his commandments. So study it for yourself to build the faith that comes from the Word of God. So let's remove all of the blinders that the wicked one has maybe blinded us by. And let's seek the truth for ourselves. And then once we seek and have the truth, then we will be free indeed. So go ahead, enroll in this course. If you've never received it, go ahead and enroll, and we'll be glad to send it to you even this week. Again, the number for that is 553-5157. Go ahead and start calling right now, and you can get that in the mail to you this week. Now, if you already have the course, you've already studied through that, then go ahead. Call us here with your question, 308-9564, or you can text us through the text line, which is 725-9283. We'll be right back. We want you to be mindful of not only the Bible Correspondence course, but go ahead and mark your calendar the last day of this month of January, January 31st, Friday, and the first day of February, Saturday, at 6:30, we want you to come out and for us to meet face-to-face. If you live anywhere close to Goose Creek, the last meeting we had somebody travel from Mount Pleasant all the way out to St. Stephen's. And so obviously there's a lot of y'all that look for this opportunity. And we want you to know that we're going to be in Goose Creek next. And that's the last day of this month, Friday, and February the 1st, Saturday, at 105 Maryland Street. 105 Maryland Street, and that will be at 6:30 each evening. So don't miss out on this opportunity to have your questions answered in person. If you have a friend or relative that you would like to bring, then by all means bring them alone as well. And we will have a Let the Bible Speak right there in person, and we will be glad to share with you things from God's Word directly. So don't miss out on this. That will be at 6:30, the last day of this month, Friday the 31st, and February the 1st, Saturday at 6:30. Again, that address is 105 Maryland Street, and we will Let the Bible Speak in person. And so don't miss out on that, and we will go to the Bible. I must have misspoke here early. It was Mount Pleasant to Ridgeville. All right, thank you. I appreciate that. That was quite a distance that they drove to come to that. And that's why we have several of us here at the radio station to correct each other's mistakes. And so thank you there, Lauren. Appreciate that very much. Again, the number for your question is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
I do. We have a call calling in today asking about the time where two sons, or one son specifically, saw the nakedness of his father, out of Genesis chapter 9, verse 22. I want to know, what does that mean? Genesis 9, verse 22 says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside." So what is the problem? This is a situation where Noah, in verse 20, planted a vineyard, and he drunk wine, and apparently drunk too much, became drunk, and was uncovered. His nakedness was exposed. And Ham apparently saw it and went outside and told his brothers. Now, what we can glean from the text is that was not the appropriate thing to do. There are passages that lets us know that a person's nakedness really should present shame. And it's a matter of shame in the sense that you cover up. I should not be exposing myself. Nor should I be looking upon a person that is naked.
What about telling brothers?
And I definitely shouldn't be telling anybody about it. So you see the right attitude in the brothers. They did not go look at their father's nakedness. In verse 23, the Bible says, "And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness." So it seems to me that there's two issues here. One, he told his brothers, but two, he was not to see the nakedness of his father. There is a passage in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, Revelation chapter 3, and it talks about the church at Laodicea. In verse 17, this was their view. They said, "I am rich, and we have become wealthy and have no need of nothing." And God says, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. There was supposed to be a shame associated with nakedness. I don't expose myself, nor should I be looking upon anyone's nakedness, and I definitely shouldn't be telling people about it. And we see here that Ham did not exercise that kind of shamefacedness or respect. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, we'll get your question and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Well, I say that, but this next question, I can't go to the Bible for the answer. Their question is, their text in from the last three digits, 919. Their question is, should we read of the books of Apocrypha and pseudographic? And the answer to that, sure, go ahead and read them all you want. But they do not claim to be Scripture, nor should they be reverenced or studied as if they are Scripture. So they are writings. The Apocrypha were books written between Malachi and Matthew time-wise. They were not Scripture. They don't claim to be. They are books of history, and there are fairy tales in those, but they are not Scripture. And then the pseudographic books, those, the word pseudo means false, graphic means writing, so that word literally, fancy word for false writings, those are making a pretense, and of course, they are not Scripture. Matter of fact, the New Testament in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, God says through Paul, though we are an angel from heaven, preach, teach any other gospel to you, any other writing, any other Scripture to you than what you have received, than what you has been preached to you, let him be accursed. So whether it is pseudographica or whether it is writings of man in the form of some man-made doctrine or the creed, the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed or any other book, now, they may be teaching some truths, but the bottom line is we're not going to be judged by those truths. We're going to be judged by the truths in God's Word. And so if all they're doing is reciting Scripture, then, my friend, why not just stick with Scripture so you don't be stray away because of some of the other things that those writings might say? No, let's just go and use one measuring tool, one map, one way, one truth, in order to get that one life, that so that we will be in that one heaven above. There's not but one. So let's go to the book that will get us there. So there's nothing wrong with reading them, but please understand they are not Scripture. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope. Oh, I'm sorry, I got carried away.
That's right. Exactly right. You must be in Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 4, that's right. Annie calls in today. She says, how old was Adam when he died? Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5 says, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. 930 years old. Again, that was Genesis 5 and verse 5. Thank you so much for calling. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283,
725-9283. Yes, we have Rose calling in this question. She wants to know, why did God make man the head of woman when they don't do right? Well, first of all, Rose, we want you to understand, you can't put your trust in anyone, man or woman, save Jesus Christ. And I know that you're not saying he doesn't do right. And so we need to make certain that we are following the man that is called upon to be followed, the Son of God. And so he's the one that we should be looking at for our example and all the information that will help us to heaven. Matter of fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, they had been calling themselves after man, maybe even following the message because he was an apostle. But he writes them and tells them, it rebukes them for that, first of all, in chapter 1. And when you get to chapter 2, it says, "And brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling in my speech and my preaching, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Later on in the letter, chapter 4 and verse 6, these things... Now, "these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. None of you may be puffed up on behalf of one another." So we've got to make certain that we should not think of man above what is written. Our Galatians, as I quoted earlier, is going to say that we will be anathema or accursed. And so... why did God make man the head of woman? Well, it was not because of his special innate ability, that's for sure. They have not been shown as to be morally upright than women in any kind of situation. But maybe the answer is contained in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where after he tells that women should be silent and learn in submission. It says in verse 13, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve." All right, there's one thing. And that's true, isn't it? Yes. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Well, they eventually both of them were deceived, but it seems, again, but Eve was deceived first in that. And so, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if she continue in faith, love, and holiness and self-control. So that filters into this question as well. So what should a woman do then? Well, again, I'm not going to answer that, but we'll just let God answer it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, here we see a situation where a woman is married to, certainly not an example, because he was an unbeliever. In 1 Peter chapter 3, "Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your husbands." Ooh, that's painful, isn't it? But listen to the rest of this. "That even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct, the manner of life of the wife. When they observe your chaste, pure conduct, accompanied with fear or respect, do not let your beauty be the outward adorning of the arranging of the hair or the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." And then I'm going to let you read the next two verses because I may cause everybody to turn the radio off if I read the next two. No, go ahead. I do want you to read those. But those are some things maybe that will help your question, help the answer to your question. Thank you so much, Rose. We sure appreciate that very much. Again, that was 1 Timothy 2, the last few chapters of the chapter, and then 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, the number is 308-9564. Go ahead and call in your question right now as we go to break. The number is 308-9564. This is our last segment, everyone. Hurry, get your question in before the program's over today. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We want you to know that we're glad to be in your presence and that we hope and pray that the lessons, the study, the verses, what you've seen in God's Word today is a blessing to you. We hope and pray that that is the case. Don't miss out on getting the Bible Correspondence course. We are happy to send this to you. It is free of charge. We literally have thousands of people in the Charleston area and throughout the world that are on the Bible Correspondence course. We never charge for anything, and so don't miss out on that. Again, that number is 553-5157, and we'll get it in this week's mail to you absolutely free. You can study it anytime you want to. And, you know, if you think about it, if you're part of a denominational church, that church must restrict things that they can teach simply because of the box, if you want to call it that way, the doctrine that that church is restricted by. And thus, they will limit or even sometimes pervert what the Bible says in order to make certain that their doctrine is not violated. Why? Why would we be part of something like that when there is no such thing as a denomination in the Bible? Let's go to the Bible and just instead of seeking after a church of my choice, let's seek after the church of God's choice. Just be what He wants us to be and not add something to it. We've already noted the danger in that. It says if we add or teach anything different than what God's Word says, then we will be accursed. And so let's not be playing a game like that. Let's listen to what God says and just follow His will. And then when we stand before Him one day, He very well may be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." That's what we want. Isn't that what you want? Well, let's find out the whole counsel of God, not just part of it, as we let the Bible speak. Go ahead and roll 553-5157. I'm not saying that this course gives you the whole counsel, but it does reveal some things that very well may be hidden to you because of the doctrinal box that many churches must operate from within. So go ahead and call 553-5157. This is our last few minutes, so make certain you call in your question if you have one, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the number 308-9564 for your question. Nick, you have a question?
I do. It says, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 22, please explain. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 22. Well, verse 22 says, "How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man." To try to understand this text is to understand that Jeremiah is writing to Israel. And what Israel had done was they had cast off a God, if you will. They had gotten back into, they had gone into sin. They had stumbled, if you will. And that shows up in Jeremiah chapter 18, in verse 15. Jeremiah 18:15 says, "Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in pathways and not on a highway." And so they had forgotten God. They had stumbled off the path. And thus what is said in Jeremiah 31, verse 22, really is God letting them know what was going to happen. So we need to pick up in verse 21. It says, "Set up signposts, set up signposts, make landmarks, set your heart towards the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel." So in verse 21, he says, you need to set up signposts or landmarks. Again, these are signs to point there in the right direction back to God. And we note how that he says in verse 22, "How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth." And so what was this new thing going to be? He says a woman is encompassed by a man, suggesting, as far as I can tell, they were going to go back in. They were going to go into captivity. I say back into captivity. They were going to go into captivity. And this is specifically the southern kingdom of Judah, which would represent, if you will, what would be the remnant of Israel. So I hope that's helpful to you. You can read verse 23 and you'll see again that it gives clarity that they were going to go into captivity. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 will be helpful, as well as verse 9, as it shows what they should have been doing.
Again, don't miss out on your opportunity to get the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. We also want to remind you, in the few minutes that we have left, I've got one more question here about the Song of Solomon. But let me remind you one more time about the meeting at the end of this month, that is January 31st and February the 1st at 6:30 in Goose Creek. So if you live in the Goose Creek, Ladson, North Charleston, Somerville, Monk's Corner, Hanahan area, do not miss out on coming out the last day of this month at 6:30. The address is 105 Maryland Street. The spelling of Maryland, Marylyn Street. That's in Goose Creek, Friday and Saturday evenings. And so please don't miss out on this. We'd love to meet you face-to-face, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak there in person. And we want to give you some materials to help you in your further walk with the Lord. So mark that on your calendars. You got a couple of weeks now, so go ahead and do your best to try and join us. Our last question of this day is, was the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, written for couples? Well, it was about a couple. Some would interpret it as three individuals. They're in the discussion, the Shulamite, the woman, and the king. And it was those two that were vying for her affection. But is there application for couples today? Yes. There's a lot of very intimate descriptions of love and affection and how it should be expressed to the true person whom we can love. And there's a lot of intimate details. That is, in individuals that are married, when they are married, halfway through the book, you see the individuals get married. And then the consummation of that marriage is involved. And thus, it is a love story, absolutely. And so I would encourage married couples to go through and to consider some of these things. And in essence, you can take lessons on how to be more romantic, if nothing else, because there was a lot of such activity there in that book. I can just see the number of people now going and grabbing their book and saying, "Where is that?" And it's there. What's interesting about the Bible is there is everything you can think of in there. And many times Hollywood will take a story in the Bible and they'll make it something totally different than the Bible. If that were just to follow the Bible exactly, wow, that right there would be awesome. But no, man has to get in there. And even in Hollywood, when they got to put their 2 cents, 20 cents, $5 million worth in there and just pervert it all to make it say things that it doesn't say. And the Bible is really interesting. And so we should not ever shun away from learning and studying God's Word, because therein we will find the way to heaven. And that will be the greatest joy of joys. And so please don't hesitate on that. Let's go to the Bible. Go ahead and enroll in the course. If you've never got it, go ahead and enroll in it today. 553-5157. And there will be a answer machine answer. And just leave your name and address just as it instructs. And we'll get this in the mail to you today. Again, that number is 553-5157. And again, we're glad to have had you today. And we hope and pray. Can you squeeze that in 1 minute?
I cannot.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to save that last question until next week. We appreciate the caller very much. And it's concerning Genesis 2 and verse 19. And we'll save that and start the program with it next week. So be sure and tune in next week. We want to thank you for listening today. And we hope and pray that we have benefited you. But most of all, that we've glorified God as we've gone to the Bible to let the Bible speak. The number for you to continue to call for the next few minutes is 553-5157 for the free Bible course, and we will be glad to send that to you. Thank you so much for calling today. Be sure to call again and listen next week at 1:30 till 3 o'clock every Sunday afternoon as we let the Bible speak.